Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand, the wonderful island chained paradise bathing in the Fukushima radiation, where we're all sitting out in the sun soaking up the rays. And my very special guest today is none other than Gavin Maish. Gavin, welcome to the program.
Masich!
Ah! Well, how about you give me a bit of an explanation about yourself and what we're going to be talking about today?
Thank you, Vinnie. Okay, Vinnie, I think it comes down to, you know, we've had a little bit of an issue with an issue that happened coming back just prior to Christmas, where the media, TV3 news media reporter Julian Lee decided to cover us in a story concerning loans companies. Now, I'm part of a loans company called 2050 Club Limited, and we created that company due to seeing a need in the community. Now, the community, obviously, out here in South Auckland, I'm not too sure whether many people know about South Auckland, but the poverty is quite a big thing here. A lot of people struggle here. Winds turns around and turns people out of the doorway, at the whim. And, you know, just because they didn't turn up to an appointment, or they go down to a food bank, and because they've been down there numerous amount of times, they're turning them away and they're wanting other people to come in and get food parcels. Now, when we seen that, we decided to see what happened. I threw up a little bit of money that I had, just a small amount. And we started to do $20 to $50 loan amounts. Now, the $20 to $50 loan amounts is just enough to see them through for the week. Okay, now, we had a strategy, and we started off with family and friends because, you know, originally it was family coming to me saying, hey, Gav, can I have a loan? Oh, no, I'm not going to loan you unless you pay me back a little bit of money. And that's how it started. Now, when they came to me and they took a $20 loan, I said to them, well, you can pay me $30 back, right? And they said, yeah, I'm okay with that, Gavin. This was family. Then it crept up. They come and ask me for $50. And I said, well, you can pay me, you know, $75 back because it's, you know, 50% of the amount that we borrow. Now, everything seemed to be okay on the small amounts. So we started to soon see that there was a development here. We've seen that this could probably benefit a lot of people out there. So we then opened it up to the community, friends of friends, and it went bigger. Now, when it went bigger out there, we had a gentleman that came in here called Bobby Sean David O'Connor, and he was an American Englishman that came in here, ex-Navy man, you know, big businessman, thought he was a real nice guy, you know, coming in sweety mouth, you know, talking it up that he was the man and that he had it all happening, but he was struggling with finances. So he came in and asked me whether or not I would give him a loan. I told him no. Several times I told him no. He literally begged us, begged and begged and begged. Couldn't get rid of the man. Now, how did he come into our group? Well, JJ, or John Junior Pomali, which actually is one of the directors of Radio South Pacific, he knew this man, and this man had apparently got a grant through an organisation, which is, as we know it, as Trade and Enterprise, and he actually got money to start up his business while his business went under. When he came to me, he showed me his business card and told me he was still doing clean products or something like that, a cleaning product. And then he asked me for a loan of $1,500. Now, that was way out of our ballpark. We just didn't go that high, okay? And I told him several times that we didn't do that. So anyway, we decided to front and help this man out because, you know, he seemed to be genuine. When we gave him the $1,500, he then disappeared out of here, went straight to TV3, to Commerce Commission, Consumer Affairs, to IRD, and he turned around and said that we were threatening him with violence and everything like that. That's never happened, Vinny. Okay, we never, ever once had ever threatened this man. And more importantly, everybody comes into our office. They walk into my into my home. Now, it's a private membership, Vinny, and the key with our private membership is that, you know, to come into our premises, you need to ring the doorbell and come in, because, and you need to be part of our membership before you can get a loan. All right, now, the point is, he joined our membership, he'd done all the right things, he fronted up with all his information, he gave me invoices showing me that he had money coming in. But then, however, when he did what he did, what was going to the authorities and saying that we, this false accusation that we were threatening him and so on, he was just doing that to get away from paying the $1,500 back. The thing was, is that immediately after that, I then done a company search on him, and I should have really done this prior, but I didn't. You know, I just trusted the man because he came through one of our directors. And so anyway, the cut a long story short there, his company was struck off. So he was actually acting fraudulently. He was actually acting illegally because he wasn't actually in business at all. So the thing was, Vinny, is that it all started from that. Then Julian Lee from TV3 News got involved, and he pumped it up. You know what I mean? And basically he made it worse than what it is. All the media, all the radio stations, all the news clippings coming from all of the all the newspapers, they're all fronting up with this story. Now, we all know that at the end of each year, they do stories on loans companies. I just happen to be one of them. Now, they turned around and said that I was running illegally, that I was running an unregistered business. Now, at that stage, we're only trialing a system out, Vinny. And, but, you know, as you know, and when you start up a business, we only started this business up, you know, towards the end of last year. So anybody thinks we're big multi-million dollars, you know, the advertising that I have had out there is great because they've given, you know, me a brand to the type thing. But, you know, I've got a profile as high as Kim.com now, the way they're carrying on, you know. And, you know, and that's because they reckoned that I had a meat cleaver and I was chopping up my members and threatening them and saying, I'm going to come down there and deal to you if you don't pay me debt. And that's never happened, Vinny. And the fact is that, you know, I always say to people, yes?
May I ask, what do you do to people if they don't pay you back? Okay. How do you get them to pay?
Well, it's simple. We have three ways of paying back, Vinny. The first way is basically, obviously, you know, start up some payments and pay your amount off. The second thing is sweat equity. God's given right, God's given law to work your debt away. So come in and do some work with us, all right? And the third way, basically, at the end of the day, is obviously a lump sum payment, right, which is what we require. Now, as far as threatening for violence and stuff like that, and we don't do that. We simply terminate you. And once you're terminated from the club, you can't get any access to any of our club again or the funds that we have. And quite frankly, a lot of these guys, which we've got a number of people that haven't paid, Vinny, quite a lot of them are actually disappointed that they did what they did because now they need money. I've actually had a few of them come back and say, oh, Gavin, you know, can I start my payment? When can I get a loan? I said, well, as soon as you clear your debt, out clear, then you can reloan again. But because you've done what you've done, it's about a trust issue now. So we have to build on that. And, you know, we try in our, you know, and everything we can do, you know, we've tried everything in our power. And remembering too that when we were running our system, we were trying to find the best solutions. And the best solution we came up with was sweat equity, which is working that debt away. And that's a great concept. Now, the concept about our system is that when a member pays back their koha, we call it a koha because it's a gift, when they pay that back into the system, another new member or another new customer ends up coming in and taking that out. So it's rolling backwards and forwards like this, you know? And the good thing about that is that our community members that are a part of our membership are actually supporting their own community. And that's a great concept. Now, if everybody else took that concept on, then we wouldn't have so much poverty. I've got to be honest with you, Vinny. This is the thing. We've looked at the statistics of the crime that's happened in Manukau City, where we're based. The crime has come down. Very, very little burglaries are going on. Very little domestic violence is going on. You know, like when the husbands are stressed out, they start smashing into their wives. You know, we've cut that down. A lot of our members that come here have been women beat. You know, they've been women that have been beaten up. And they say it's great that we're here because it stops our husband getting stressed out over money. So we've got the good and the bad, eh? The good and the bad. The bad is if people don't honour their loans, they're letting the other community down, our community down. And that's a big disappointment. My job as a custodian is to look after the business. And that's all I do. Yes.
And did the media ask you that question that I just did? How do you normally get people to pay back their loans?
Yeah, no, they didn't. I've never, ever had an interview with any media. You're the first one. And the reasons why is because what happened is Julian Lee came up with a lie and he fabricated a story. Now he has to stick with it. He has no interest in me coming out and giving my side. What he's doing is he's conditioning the minds of the public, okay, of a guilty plea. And that's what he's doing. And it's a big game because he's part of the government and he's also part of Police 7 and Police 10. So he's part of that arrangement.
Okay, okay. So he didn't actually interview you or verify any of the facts he did or ask this person who made the accusation to provide any evidence whatsoever. Now, you tend to be doing a lot of good in the community. As you've said, you're reducing crime and family violence. Now, in my opinion, if crime goes down, the police look good, except if they're not the ones to make the crime go down.
Exactly right. See, the police at the moment, you can take a good look on Police 10 and Police 7, and they're beating the hell out of the boys and girls down here. And I'm talking about boys and girls. You know, I've got a lot of our members that have been in here, they've been subjected to the abuse of the police. And, you know, to be honest with you, they're a private company, and that's all they are. And anybody can actually start up a police force, okay, and get recognised by the community. And I think that's something that I've been looking into about starting our own law enforcement here, okay, because my law enforcement that I believe is arresting policemen, walking into their police stations and arresting them for the violence that they've actually been putting out there. And I think that's something that we should look at.
It occurs to me that the community is incapable of protecting themselves against the police because the police have a monopoly of force. And that's the thing. That's what happens. I mean, if an adult is having an argument with a child and the adult says, you know what, I'm just going to hit you and you can't hit me back because you're too short, you're too little, who wins the argument?
You know, it's sad. Many of those things do happen and, you know, it is out there and it is predominant. But it's because of the stress-related issues within the family, lack of money and so on. And, you know, and what I don't agree with is when police go in there and then physically assault you, step up into your face, tell you to calm down when you're perfectly calm, and then drive your head into the concrete. And then one of our girls that have had that, she took them to court, but all the police stick together as a tight little group, a tight little gang, and they say, no, it never happened, it never happened. And it did. This girl smashed her cheekbone. You know, so, you know, hey, look, these things happen in the community. It just takes people like me and like you, Vinny, to do something about it.
I asked the Kiwi Journalists Association on Facebook. They've actually got quite a lot of credible journalists on there. I was very honoured to be invited. What is the reason, or what do you believe should be the main reason for reporting on something? I picked moral obligation.
It is moral obligation, I'm afraid, Vinny. You know, I'm the type of person that I could not stand by and watch somebody getting hurt. I know, I remember this. One week, it was probably November last year, there was a young girl screaming her head off out here, out the front of my office here. And I went out to have a look. Nobody else went out. They were all coming out on the verandas, but nobody actually went out of their building to go and see if everything was okay. I walked across the road, and there was two guys. Now, this young girl was screaming and yelling, and she was the culprit, actually. She was screaming and yelling at this other guy. But his brother walked straight up to me as I was walking across the road and asked me if I was trying to be a hero. And I said to him, yeah, I am, mate. And I said, and I'm a big hero. So I'm coming over here to see if she's okay. And if you don't like that, that's tough, right? Now, he was itching for a scrap. He wanted to have a fight with me. Now, one of the other gardeners that were over at AUT, which is the campus here, he came out and he could see what was going. Another car pulled up and they can see what was happening. All that I wanted to know was whether the girl was okay. The fact is, it actually... I evaluated the situation quite quickly. It was her, the one that was the culprit. She was the one that was causing all the trouble, all the commotion. But however, in saying that, it took me moral obligation to go over there and check it out. That's what most people don't do. They stay in their home. They hear the burglar alarm going off, but they just sit in their home and they just ignore it. And that's what our society has come to.
What if people sort of saw themselves in a dual role? Like, my day job is I run a radio station. My night job is, if there's any crap going on anywhere, I have to be a community constable for a moment.
Well, you know, the old saying is, many, many years ago, there used to be a thing that we used to do, citizens' arrests, okay, people moving in and arresting somebody for doing something wrong. We have to be very careful, though, Vinny, with that, because sometimes we can over-exercise our actual right and we can go overboard with it. We have to, you know, we have to be in a collective group. Now, I always think that, these community watch groups are really great, okay, and, you know, you've got to have some boundaries. There's got to be rules in place, you know, for that sort of thing.
Well, rules like the police have that they don't follow, incidentally.
Exactly right. And this is what happens, okay? It's about following the procedures. You know, I was looking at starting a new law enforcement thing. Now, you know, it's funny this, because this is the joke. The joke is this, is that many of these police officers that go in there, they don't have any criminal backgrounds against them, but yet they commit crime. And, you know, they're out there, they're handing in and property, which is only half the property that they're handing in. They're out there, they're seen smoking pot, you know, smoking cannabis and all of that. They seem to be going, or that we call it marijuana because that's a legal law term, okay? Cannabis isn't, okay? We tend to hear many, many times that how people have seen police smoking pipes of methamphetamine in their vehicles. Now, we've got people saying this straight up, straight out. I've got people that say that they've seen them, eyewitnesses have seen them. All of this stuff is happening. You know, police are out there raping women. It's been all over the news. They're turning around and they're exercising their force, which is, you know, way overboard. They've got tasers that they're tasering people for literally just saying, hey, what's going on? They're turning around and now saying that they're going to start arming our police. God almighty, if that ever happens.
And they're killing people already, too. I think there's been like 1,300 people plus since 1967, I think, was the stat that I read. And not one cop's ever been jailed or even fired.
And that's just not right. Now, just looking at when they came up here on the 24th of December, Senior Sergeant David Pizzini, okay, Dave Pizzini, came into my premises with two other police officers, obviously very big, large Polynesian officers, and he also had two more outside. So five to come up here just to come and talk to me. Five, right? And
intimidation.
Yeah. And anyway, he did. He came in, he stepped over, leaned across my table and started to threaten me, okay, and asking me really abruptly, trying to get some response out of me. I turned around and I says, you must be an idiot. I've got a CCTV in here and it's seeing everything you're doing, pal. He looked up, he seen the TV, he turned around and I showed him where he was visually seen and he backed off and sat down and then shut up, said nothing and just said, do you have a meat cleaver? And I said to them, are you talking about my utensil that I use? because it's a cooking utensil as far as I'm concerned. He says, no, a meat cleaver. I says, no, a utensil, right? It's wood, right? It's woods. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I says, yes, I do have that, sir, right? And please, sir, please don't get in my face because I'm doing nothing to you, okay? I says, is that okay? I says, can you give me a minute, sir? So I got on the phone. I rang my litigator to come down. They wouldn't even give him time to come down. They wanted to clear out before he got there. All that I wanted him to do was to observe what they were doing, because this is the most important thing, Vinny. You have to turn around and video the police from now on. Everything has to be videoed and recorded. Everything.
Everything.
Everything. And if you don't do that, they're going to turn around and manipulate evidence. That's what they've been doing for a long time. They're corrupt. They're the gang of the government. They're the gang of the justice system. You don't comply, they're going to give you a good hiding. Now, I'll tell you what happened. When they put me, after the court case that I had, my first court case where I had a no plea, they put me into a cell waiting to get bail. Now, I wrote my bail out as under duress, as normal. But I also said to the guys that were in there with me, there was about 12 young guys in there, and I says, this is what's going to happen, guys. Will you help me? And then they says, what do you mean? And I says, they're going to take every one of you out of here, and then what they're going to do is they're going to leave me till last, and then they're going to come in here and roll me. Now, I'm 50 years old, or nearly 50. I can't take beatings like I used to. They says, hey, and anyway, one young Maori guy stood up and says, I'll protect you, bro. So he come and sat next to me. One by one, they all started emptying. They were pointing at used to. They were trying to clear that room to get me down, and then everybody could see what was happening, right? When the door opened and it was just me and him, the guy came in, or the policeman came in, and he goes, you, mate. And he goes, no, mate. He grabbed me, grabbed my arm, he says, I'm coming out with him, because if you try to roll him, I'll roll you. It's that simple. Now, I think that young gentleman, okay, I didn't even quite grab his name because it was so happened so quickly. I commend that. He took a moral obligation to support something that was he felt was wrong. Okay, now why did they want to do that? Like you, Vinny, I'm quite vocal. Like you, I go out and talk about the New World Order. I go out there and talk about the corruption. I go out there and talk about Agenda 21 and all of that sort of stuff, and the UN decreeing martial law and all of that sort of stuff. I go and put that out. And why? Because I'm on RadioSouthPacific.com, so www.RadioSouthPacific.com. And what that does is I have news and views on there. I have a lot of videos, and those videos actually talk about the things I'm talking about right now. So we have to take some moral obligation to step up and stop putting our heads in the sand like ostriches.
Don't have really much of a choice in the matter, do we? Because a lot of people have done that in the hopes that it'll go away, it'll get better. It never, ever goes away. It never, ever gets better, except on the occasions where somebody stands up and does what is right, fights back, and gets justice. Usually that person has to suffer for extended periods of time in order to achieve justice for themselves or somebody else, and I think that's actually part of the game that's being played, to discourage people from doing what is right through threats and intimidation and fear. And once your fear controls you, those you fear are your masters.
Exactly right. I agree, Vinny, with that totally. You know, it's quite funny. I've been in the law system for quite a number of years, guys, okay? And have I done anything wrong in my history? No. I have been branded, okay, a woman beater, this, that, and the other. I've went through appeals after appeals, and I've won them, right? Now, the bottom line is this. I've been accused of all sorts of things. You have no idea, okay? Because when somebody is outspoken like myself, they try to shut you down. Now, they also try to keep you in the system. Once you're in the system, they try to keep you in there because they don't want this amnesty thing going on. They don't want you clear. They want to keep you in the system so then they can continue to control you. They seem to be the we're the beneficiaries, okay? And, you know, obviously, and they've got to be they've got to be the ones that are looking after us. And so what they're doing is they're trying to look after you, or saying that they're looking after you. In actual fact is, I think a lot of people can agree with me when they say that, do you trust your police force? I'll have 90% of my people saying that they don't.
No, no, they don't. And there were the police who were... Didn't they arrest somebody for criticising the police because the police didn't catch a couple of rapists who were doing it full view in public, like on YouTube or something of that nature? Yes. And I believe it was Martin Bradbury, actually, who he was fined, or he might face a number of months in jail or a $5,000 fine or something of that nature. And I go, police, New Zealand police, if you don't want people to not trust you, if you want people to believe that you're there to help them, stop assaulting them unlawfully.
Exactly right.
Stop killing them and getting away with it, you know? Stop stealing their drugs and smoking them yourself, huh?
Yeah,
maybe maybe you could try that first before defamation cases come out.
True, true. And, you know, and it's funny you say that. Yes, you know, you're right. You know, they want us to trust them, but they keep beating us down. You know, and even people like myself, you know, like I've done nothing wrong here, and they're stepping up in my face and wanting to beat me down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Trust me, bang! Trust me, bang!
Exactly right. It goes on and on and on. It never stops. Where does the assault start and begin? Where does it start and begin? I mean, at the end of the day, I see nothing but on Police 10 and Police 7, the police assaulting people. What the WTF? You know what I mean? I mean, at the end of the day, we've got to be real about this, and we've got to start standing up to that. We've got to start saying no. If you're a community member standing there watching somebody beat down a person, and even if he's in a blue uniform, you need to step in. You really do need to step in, okay? And if you do get arrested, okay, then go with it. Don't struggle. Don't, you know, put up a fight. Go with it. Because then it shows them that you're absolutely taking a moral stand and you're stepping up and you're saying, no, this cannot go on and it needs to stop.
A friend of mine had this happen to him in Dunedin, actually. Some member of the public came up and assaulted his friend, and he stepped in the middle and tried to get rid of him. Then the cops came up and they decided to arrest both of them, and he was trying to stop the cops from arresting his mate and just go, no, it was the other guy that started the fight. And they go, right, mate, we're arresting you too. And he goes, okay, I'm under duress then. I'm under protested duress. And they're carrying him into the cells, and his mate's going, what do we do, bro? Don't worry. And he goes, don't worry, bro, we're under duress.
Yeah, that's it. And you know, the under duress is a good pull, but you know, it's the same when I signed my bail conditions, okay, and I signed my bail receipt. You know, I told everybody in that room, when you leave here, sign under duress, okay? Sign under duress, because to be honest with you, let's go deeper though. This is something deeper, okay? Do the government and the justice system have the authority to act? Well, you're going to be surprised. There is documentation out there that proves that they are not legally right to act. Is the Constitution in place right now? Well, we think so, don't we? But no.
Most New Zealanders are unaware that we even have a Constitution. Yeah.
I mean, but we did have a Constitution, but then it was taken... It was taken in context with another constitution, so it wiped the constitution out. So now there's no constitution in place. Now, if that's the case, then are they legally in their right to act in court of law? Are they legally in their right to arrest us?
Well, of course not.
Exactly right. They're not. So they're creating a big fraud. Okay, and it's fraud. And how that's happening, Vinny, is by getting you to engage in a contract with them under commerce law. Okay, now we're in common law, but they're applying commerce law.
So they have to get you to admit that you're a company, not a human being.
Exactly right. They've got to get you to acknowledge, okay, like they'll sit up there, they'll ask you a question. The minute you go and answer that question, They will take that as a contract. Mm-hmm. If you blink, if you twist, if you nod, that's it. You're in contract with them. The minute they've got you in contract, they then start enforcing the law, written law. Okay? So what we need to do is we need not to get into or engage into a contract with the legal system. Mm. And that's the key. Don't engage.
Yeah. Well, one person said, I think it might have been Rob Minardi, said whenever they want you to answer a question, you only answer it by asking them a question. And what they'll do is they'll start repeating the question and keep asking you the same thing to admit to it over and over and over again. And Rob says, if they keep asking you the same question, it means you're giving them the right answer. Just keep giving them that answer. That way they'll never get what they want.
Exactly right. You know, it's funny. They asked me, you know, are you Gavin John Marsich? And I says, I'm the living Gavin John Marsich. Yes, I agree with your procedure, or like I accept your procedure, but I don't accept the man that you've got up there as the legal entity that you created as my fictitious straw man.
Yeah.
Okay. So you might know a little bit about that, Vinny.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, the bottom line is that this is the reasons why they're trying to engage me into a contract. Now, they've given me legal aid, right? Legal aid. And I have a legal aid. Now, he's seen so many holes in what they've done. This is the funny thing is, Vinny, I was never arrested. I was never booked in. I was never had an interview with the police. This is the police. I was never arrested, never booked in, never interviewed, and never charged on a charge sheet. And yet I have a charge. What do you reckon? How do you reckon that?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. You know, the police...
Are they trying to play a technicality game? It's like, no, we kidnapped him. We didn't arrest him. You know, come on.
That's the next stage. They're going to kidnap me. Okay? Yeah. They're going to start hitting them and brutally assaulting me.
Yeah,
they're going to do that like they've done to many of our people trying to seek independence, right? Mm. Now, the bottom line is this. Independence, big word, right? Big word. But you know what? When I came out of my mother's womb, I was a free man.
Yeah.
And I'll die free. And will I ever kneel to anybody? Never.
Yeah.
I'll never kneel. Okay? I'm a free man. I want to die a free man. I want my children, my grandchildren to die free as well. So I believe truly in independence, and my independence fight is for myself and others. Now, I believe that I'm not trying to be, you know, lead people from the slavery system. Now, hey, that's another key thing, slavery. You know, you're going to love that one, Vinny, when we've all been enslaved through our birth certificate and so on. And amazing, while I've got you here, let's talk about the birth certificate.
Go for
the
life, son.
Registration number, the bond number, is registered on the stock exchange that actually earns a lot of money that your government has got. Now, it's funny that they seem to own your life, your birth certificate, and your money. Mm. Now, I don't know. People, if you're watching this, do you want your money back?
Yeah.
Well, let's go and get it, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, it's not that easy. Because what's happened is they've concocted a scheme over hundreds of years. I think it started allegedly with Sir Francis Bacon, who was one of the direct orchestrators of what we call the modern judicial system. And it came upon my attention, at least, that human beings are very valuable commodities. Slaves were actually highly prized and valued in America when slavery was legal. And you could make a hell of a lot of money off of slaves, actually. And indeed, some slaves even got treated very well. You know, they got given wonderful places to live. They got given money. They got given food and lodging. That didn't change the fact that they were a slave. People forget that system never changed. They just tell you that you're free now, while you still remain a slave. And now, instead of somebody else paying for your bed and your breakfast, you have to pay for it, and you're still a slave.
Exactly right. They tie you in with your birth certificate, you know. And the old saying is it's Admiral's Law, okay. You know, when a vessel is out in the sea and it comes into the dock, okay, and it docks, it comes into a berth and it docks, and then it comes into berth, and then it receives a document, right?
Yeah.
Now, it's the same thing. It's docking and that. It's the same with us in our mother's womb of water. We come through the birth canal, not the B-E-R-T-H, which is the birth that the ship births, but B-I-R-T-H. So we come through the birth canal, and then we receive a document, which is our registration. And that registration then ties us into the slavery system. And therefore, from the day you were born and the day you created that birth certificate, you're now a slave to their taxation system. Now, it's funny how it all goes back, and how long did it go back from? I mean, this started in 1666 when London burnt down, and they created the Admiral's Law from then.
666?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
By
yeah,
chance, did that burn down on 9/11?
Yeah. One six six six.
Yeah.
One devil, eh? One devil. It was a great year. Yeah. So look, all of this is not, look, there's millions of people out there now, well, you know, that know about this stuff now. But knowing about it and doing something about it is two different things.
Yeah. And in fact, somebody was criticizing me today, and I get this all the time. You know, Vinny, you're always talking about the problems, you're never talking about the solutions. Look, I'm a douchebag reporter with a microphone, okay? It's my job to, you know, interview the people who have the solutions, not my job to solve everybody's frickin' problems and do all their thinking for them.
Exactly right, Vinny. And, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I also have a radio station here that I'm actually starting to get on air myself. And, you know, and I want people to come in and communicate with me. I want to have a radio station that's controversy. You know what I mean? It's really important to me that, you know, to dig deeper. Okay? Because, you know, when somebody says to me, hey, Gavin, it's black and it's white, you know, I want to know is whether it is or not.
Mm.
Okay, and a lot of other people out there are the same, but they become complacent in their lives.
Mm. Okay? Well, and again, maybe that's that fear factor that we were alluding to earlier. And I do have a lot of people commenting on that vein of things, like, "Oh my God, you're so brave! How can you do this? And aren't you afraid of such and such?" And blah blah blah. Nah, bro. Honestly. It's not because I'm brave, it's because I'm frickin' reckless, you know? I just don't care.
and likewise, Vinny, I mean, the bottom line is that I'm at that age where, you know, my kids are growing up, I've got grandchildren, that and they're all got their own places and so on. So I, it's not that I don't have anything to lose, because I do have things to lose.
Yeah, but we all do.
But the reality is that, you know, no, I just won't step back. When there's something that needs to be said, I'll step up and say it, you know, and I'm there to protect the well-being of my family and my children and my grandchildren from years to come. And if I turn around and sacrifice myself to make it a better world for my family and also others, then so be it.
Yeah. In fact, there was a point in a conversation I had a couple of weeks ago, I think. I talked about self-sacrifice. Now, anybody can sacrifice somebody else, like you over there with the still beating heart. I'm going to cut that out of your chest and sacrifice you to my gods. You go, oh, okay, what do you hope to achieve by that? Nothing. I'm just going to sacrifice you just for the hell of it. Somebody decides to self-sacrifice, on the other hand, it's usually for a very, very good reason. And they often accomplish a lot as a result, you know, whether that's self-sacrifice to save a number of your friends on the battlefield, self-sacrifice to lay yourself on the line in the legal system in order to prove that a giant corrupt scumbag who keeps scamming lots and lots of people in this country over many, many years actually finally goes to jail and gets justice despite what he might do to you. That is power. When you realize that you have something to give, exactly. And that people can't take it from you.
Exactly right, Vinny. Now, I'm not too sure whether people are aware that your queen, the queen, has actually got a warrant for arrest.
Yeah, wasn't that in the was it Myanmar Philippines? Yeah. Where was that court case held?
They're going right down to Illuminati. They're arresting people from the Vatican. They're arresting the queen. You know, there's warrants for arrest for 30-odd people, okay, out there, and that when they try to step up against the giant to arrest them, their own systems, their own laws that they created have now then turned around and said to them that you've committed a breach, you've committed, you know, broken the law, we're now going to arrest you. They can't get arrested. What the hell?
Yeah.
What's going on?
The Queen has rights over the New Zealand Parliament, the Canadian Parliament, the Australian Parliament. I believe all MPs are mandated by the Queen to be surveilled by state intelligence services. I can't 100% confirm that, but there have been Green Party officials, Keith Locke, Nandor Tanchos, who have come out, and that was even a big media blitz exposing the fact that the state intelligence services was in fact spying on New Zealand's own MPs. The Queen retains the right to dissolve Parliament if she wants, to appoint a Governor General on her own behalf, and what have you, if she wants to. She can pretty much do anything. We're her property.
Yeah, that's right. And it's funny, though. It's funny that you say we're her property, because the Treaty of Waitangi, let's get that. That's tomorrow, the Treaty of Waitangi. It's really always been a controversial thing. But look at it this way. There was two Treaty of Waitangi signed, right? One was, which was in Māori, and one was, which was in English. English version states that they, that the Māori people were to succeed to them, and then they were to govern over them, and they were to be sovereignty. But yet in the Māori, in the Māori Treaty of Waitangi that they signed, they thought that they had their own, sovereignty. And this is where the dilemma has been. But in rightful law, it's the indigenous people of the land that they believed that what they were signing was the Māori one. They understood that, and they understood that one. They didn't understand English. So therefore, the Māori translation was supposed to be the one that was in play. In doing that, that means that the Māori people can self-govern. Now, controversy again, and that, my friend, is going to be brought up at the Treaty of Waitangi tomorrow. Okay? And this is hence the reasons why Mr. John Key, our favourite Prime Minister, okay, is getting up there, and he's feeling a little bit under duress now, and he now knows what we feel like when we're slammed up in the, against the wall, and we're put into the lockup, you know, for no reasons. But anyway, those are just...
Unfortunately.
Are they views? No. These are actual things that are going on. But we're getting deep, right? We're getting into it deep.
Yeah, it's true. And what I've found is, at least some of the... at least some of the kaumātua that I've talked to have, the whole tactic of divide and conquer works, right? What they've done is they've managed to convince Māori just in general, whether that be they urban, rural, kaumātua or whatever, just in general, that the government owes them something and that the government is responsible for it. And to a large extent, that's correct. However, what's also been lumped in there is every single participant in the government, every single person within it, when the reality is it's only actually a tiny fractional elite that's controlling things and making things happen. And what those elite have done is they've come to the Māori elite to tell them to divide and conquer their own people, and they'll be rewarded for it.
Yes, and there has been a lot of that going on with Māori affairs and so on. And I agree. I think the people of today, and we're talking about today, we're starting to see that there's a consensus of people, our white brothers, our yellow brothers, whatever they are, they're all brothers to us. Sovereignty means that anybody living on our soil is part of the land. And so as far as the Māori is concerned, it's about the people of the land. We don't own the land, the land owns us. And that's our concept, and it always has been. I myself personally... I obviously I have Māori blood in me, so I'm tangata whenua of Aotearoa, okay, Aotearoa. But main thing is that it's never to overstep my boundaries. I only step with what I know, which is right and which is wrong, and I discern what is right and wrong. Really, from the day one, I mean, there's so many discrepancies that has happened, you know, with the selling of the land and so on, was never ever supposed to happen, because remember, we don't own land, the land owns us. And until we actually really understand that, until we understand that we're part of the land, and the people that are living on the land are part of the land, then I think we'll have a better world to live in.
We don't own the land owns us, except currently the Queen owns the land and us.
True. It's funny that we talk about that, you know. It was quite surprising when I started to realise, you know, the warrant for an arrest on the Queen and all the other bodies out there. And, you know, it's about justice. That's what it's about. It's really about justice. And, I mean, even your own laws can be turned against yourself. And this is really what has happened. And, you know, this is what happens. You know, sacrifices are made. I mean, we, if we go back and we get a bit religious, I mean, Jesus Christ made a sacrifice for us, you know. And, you know, the reality is now we have to now start sacrificing ourselves to make it a better world to live in. You know, what are we going to do when the new world order hits in? Okay, and whether it is going to, what are we going to do when there's martial law decreed, you know, and then we start getting our police, you know, stomping down the road, telling us to get into our houses, and then if you didn't, they shoot you. I mean, $1.6 billion in America was spent on ammunition. I mean, they're not shooting bears.
Yeah, there was 2.6 billion rounds of hollow point ammunition, which is incidentally illegal under the Geneva Convention, because they're not designed to wound; they're only designed to kill.
Designed to blow a big hole because of the way the bullet head is cut, you know. Mm. And so, yeah, and so as you know, this information is out there. It's on the internet, guys. Go and check it out.
Yeah,
you know.
Plus, I think at the same time that they ordered all those shoot-to-kill hollow point rounds, they also ordered a whole lot of targets that were in the shape of pregnant women, children, and the elderly. Okay, just those two facts there. They buy ammunition to kill, and targets are pregnant women, children, and the elderly. What the frick is going on, and why can't people actually see it? It's because they don't want to believe it. And they could be forgiven for not wanting to believe that there's a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery pieces of crap that are running everything, okay? I know, that's a really scary thought. It's really scary. But just because something is scary doesn't mean it's not true and it's just fear porn.
Exactly right. You know, Vinny, it's funny that you've seen that, because people walk around with, you know, shades on. You know, they walk around with blindfolds. Now, the reason why is because what we're telling you right now, Vinny, and what we're speaking about right now, it seems out of this world. And they've made it so bloody good, out of this world stuff, that nobody believes it. Well, you know what? Wake up, because when you see your brother, your wife, your husband, or any of them laying down on the ground after they've been shot, and then you look up and go, oh, it was real. You know, that's what's going to happen, guys. You know, we are kept in the dark. We need to start turning around and turning the light on and waking up. You know, now, you know, it's funny, Vinny, we got down to talking, why did I come and have an interview with you? And we've talked about a whole lot of other things, but I really want to get back to, okay, what's actually happened to me now. And I really want to get my word out there, because, you know, a lot of things have happened here, and I've been actually racked over the coals. I've had police threatening me. I've had Julian Lee from TV3 putting up fabricated stories, lies. He's now then intimidating, coercing, bribing, and bullying members in our case. And it's a lot of the members that haven't paid back that he's actually targeting. Okay, so, you know, obviously they've been kicked out of the club. So when you've been kicked out of the club, you've got a beef. Okay, all of this stuff is happening. But I want to turn around about the I want to talk about Julian Lee, the scumbag, the piece of shit that I believe, you know, as a total asswipe that goes around reporting, not actually having the right information, and then turning around and putting out a false story. Now, quite frankly, that guy needs to be suffocated, you know, he really does. But outside of that, I mean, you know, he's openly spouting his mouth off. TV3 is allowing that to happen. You know, they don't realize what jeopardy that he's putting them in, because once this is all over, I'm coming after you. It's that simple. Now, this is what's happening, okay? We've got the...
What occurred to me is that I posted a question in this New Zealand Journalists Association about people who've been disgruntled while working inside mainstream media, and how I wanted to interview them and what have you, and the post got removed because it's outside of the guidelines of the New Zealand Journalism Group. You can't talk about corruption in journalism and name names. And I had another post on there, which was just, you know, one of my most recent shows, and I can't self-promote or anything like that. It's only supposed to be about talking about the context of what journalism is and isn't in New Zealand. I can't post this show in the New Zealand Journalists Association because it names a corrupt journalist and talks about corruption in journalism, and that's the rule of the New Zealand Journalists Association.
Okay, well, let's just delete that part. You know, but hey, look, at the end of the day, okay, we are subject to our voice. Now, if we turn around and open our mouths and we say something, okay, we've got to be accountable for that. And I don't really care that, you know, if he gets upset because I've called him an asshole. I don't really care, okay? I mean, this clown has gone out there and damaged the reputation of me that I spent 30 years trying to build. And he's damaged it in 5 minutes. Yeah. He's an absolute prick, okay? And quite frankly, I'm going to personally target him once all the stuff is out and go after them legally, okay, and then start messing with his life and see how he feels, okay? So, but outside of that, he's done this. I went into court. It was funny because David Pizzini, or Detective Sergeant, or Senior Sergeant Dave Pizzini, was the one who was supposed to be the one that was summonsing me. I get into the courtroom. We actually were asked whether or not we were allowing media to be in that courtroom, and we said no. Yet when we walked into that courtroom, he was there filming. The magistrate, Lomalu or something like that, the magistrate allowed it to happen, and yet I had requested it didn't. So she was breaching my rights, okay, as a person, all right? She was breaching that. Why? Because he stood up and says, the government is paying a lot of attention to this case, right? So she then decided to turn around and let it happen because she was chicken shit, okay? Because she didn't want to go against the government. Well, whoopee-whoopee-doo. A government, they're as corrupt and they're callous and they're turning around and they're putting up false fabricated stories. They're bullying, coercing, bribing our members, bribing. Yeah. I've got texts from the people that have said that they were actually being intimidated and they were being investigated and so on. And Julian Lee was behind it saying that he was a salesman and then came back with a policeman that turned around and says that you're under investigation. So they were shitting their pants and decided to turn around and cough up. Another one of my witnesses that I've got a message back to them said that Julian Lee contacted her car company that seized her car and then said that if they didn't give a bad story against me, that they would turn around and would not give her car back. What do you reckon, Vinny? Beautiful. And I've got that in text. I've got that in transcript. And you know what? Julian Lee, you're an idiot. Okay? And you've just turned around and sewn this case up for yourself, bud.
That's acting under the assumption. That's acting under the assumption, of course, that he doesn't have members with power and control at the top protecting him from justice.
That's right.
Is he part of the club? Is he showing his true colors so that he can be approved for work later on?
Exactly right. Julian Lee needs to be taken off reporting. Okay, the biggest thing with him, if he's not going to report the correct information, then he shouldn't be a reporter. Okay, I know that they want to get their ratings up, but this is not the way. You're destroying people. You're destroying good people. You're destroying lives. Now, tell me one thing, Vinny. If they removed my company right now from helping the community, who else can they go to? Every one of my members have signed a petition here. A lot of my members have signed a petition. A lot of them have put affidavits and are saying that I'm such a great guy and that I'm helping the community. The fact is, themselves, and I've got to take my hat off to them, they are helping the community, not me. I'm just the custodian of the business. The community is helped by our own members. And so they're turning around and they're fronting. They're saying, what a wonderful job I've done. The truth is, Vinny, I haven't done a wonderful job. All that I've done is I've just watched over it. I've made sure it runs properly. You know, I set rules in place. And I basically just guide people through the process. Our customers are members and our members are helping the community themselves. So take your hat off to them.
Sounds like your members are operate exactly the same way as my listeners do. And you operate the same way I do.
Yes. I try to do the best I can. I'll be honest with you. You know, what the most important thing for me is about having the integrity. And that's one thing I do. I'm an honorable man, you know, and people see that in time. You know, yes, all this stuff has gone out on TVs and all of that, but I'll clear my name. I'll always do. Okay?
Have you ever noticed how they'll spend 6 months getting rid of your good name and then they print a retraction which lasts 2 minutes that hardly anybody sees?
Yeah, and nobody sees. So everybody thinks you're just an absolute, you know, ruffian, that I'm going around, I'm a big brute, because I'm big, and that's what it is, because I'm a bigger guy. If you meet me in person, I'm actually quite a big, big, stocky guy, and straight away, you know, I'm a big, bad man, you know what I mean? I'm the big, bad wolf. You know, I don't know. If you look at my 30 years of history that's over the internet, you'll find that I've actually helped a lot of people, even with the financial situations. You know, they created a law to get people like me out. But I'll let you know, back in 1993 to 1998, I brought in a system and I rearranged my system to suit it, which was mortgage reduction, helping people out of their homes a lot earlier and saving a lot of money. I was one of the creators. I actually was the one who owned Mortgage Reduction Systems Limited. I actually owned it. And then I turned it into Central Finance and Investments Limited. So, and I do mortgage reduction strategies. They're trying to say that I am now, I have to have a legal license, a financial license to operate in that thing. I've got to be what we call a financial advisor. What a load of crap. Okay? It's a mortgage, and my own mother can come in and sit next to me and tell me what to do with my mortgage. So all I can say is that there's a lot of controversy going on, guys. There's a lot of corruption in the government, the police force, okay, the media, even the media. And, I mean, you know, I'm just so happy that, Vinny, you're allowing me to speak openly and honestly to you today. Now, I often say to people, now, if you were here in my shop and you were talking to me, I always tell people to look into my eyes. You can tell I'm not talking shit. You know what I mean? I'm the real deal. I'll tell you straight, even if it means it costs me my life. You know, at the end of the day, there's no way I'm going to buckle my knees for people, tyrants like Julian Lee, tyrants like the government and the FMA. And I'm going to name them, by the way, the FMA, which is the Financial Markets Authority, the Financial Services Providers, Financial Services Complaints Disputes Committee, Commerce Commission, Consumer Affairs, and IRD. These are all the industries or organizations that have targeted me. And guess what, Vinny? They started targeting me back in November, and guess what? What is it now? It's February, is it? Is it February now?
Yes.
Okay. I'm still operating. I'm still running. What does that mean?
Yeah. So it either means you're not doing anything wrong and they're just making it up, or even if you were doing anything wrong, they're too incompetent to shut you down.
And more importantly, the funny thing is that, you know, we've done everything. When we didn't all have all our paperwork in order and we didn't have disclosure and that, we actually went out and started to get those all done. And I'm glad it happened. I really am, Vinny, because it actually brought me into gear. It brought me into shape, right? And so we got all the disclosures all sorted. We got all the documents that they wanted in place. We got the whole thing. And now we're looking sweet. You know what I mean? And we've got a lot more procedures in place, even down to, if you're unable to pay the debt now, we've got a whole lot of array of things to do.
Yeah. All right. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to come out and actually tell us about all of this. We're going to go to break now, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be right back.
Thank you very much, Vinny, for your time. And I thank you to the audience that's listening in to turn around and take an objective view at what me and Vinny had spoken about, because we do ask you to not just do it yourself, but to research. Don't listen to us. Research. It's really important.
Indeed. We'll be
right back. Thank you, Vinny.